This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Michigan Republican Congressman Thaddeus McOtter, representing the Great Lakes State's 11th Congressional District. He's also the author of the brand new book, Seize Freedom, American Truths and Renewal in a Chaotic Age. You may remember we briefly talked about the book in our last conversation with the congressman as he was introducing legislation tying human rights progress to trade agreements. And now we just want to focus on some of the key concepts in this book. Congressman, it's great to have you with us.
Well, thanks, Greg, and thanks for charitably saying I had some concepts.
Let's start with where you are going with this, because there's considered to be three different legs of the conservative stool, and you pretty much touch on all of them in here: our foreign policy, our economic woes that we face right now, but also our cultural decline. When you talk about where we are fiscally, and obviously we're in the middle of a major fiscal debate right now, what is the finish line? Where do we want to be, and how soon can we get there?
Well, first, let's give credit where credit is due. Those are three legs of the Dems, too. We just have different ideas on where to put them on the seat. But no, when we talk about the fiscal situation in the country, what I tried to lay out is, as we know, in the 20th century, corporations became very vertical, very top-down, very centralized, bureaucratic. Think GM 1960s. Government, under Presidents Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, on up through Lyndon Johnson, government mirrored that vertical model, very top-down, very centralized, very bureaucratic. And what's happened since that period of time, as we've seen, is the global age of globalization has hit, the communications revolution has taken place, and we've seen what has been described as now a horizontal consumer-driven economy where things are more democratized. People like yourself or anyone in a BlackBerry or at an internet desktop can order a good or service anywhere around the world. Government has not mirrored that model, and eventually that's leading to the problems that we're seeing in places as disparate as Greece or in Washington, where the government has to become more horizontal, more efficient, more competitive. In short, it has to mirror what people, families, and businesses have had to do.
What does that look like, and how do you get there?
Well, the core concept is that we're going to have to go back to facilitating the self-reliance and self-government, as opposed to increasing governmental dependency. We all hear about our entitlement crisis. We all hear the government spending is out of control. But the danger of it is really not only the numbers involved or the debt involved, it's the dependence upon government. Now, we can responsibly have a social safety net for those who can't take care of themselves. We have to restore the concept of a temporary safety net for those who are temporarily down on their luck. What we can't do is continue to roll up entitlement after entitlement or program after program, not only because it's duplicative and not only because it may be wasteful, but because it would increase dependence upon government as opposed to facilitating independence from it.
One of the things that's been pointed out recently is that just about half of our taxpayers actually don't pay taxes, that either they get money back from the government or they don't make enough to kick in the way the tax code is right now. And, of course, we obviously have many different programs that people benefit from. So the concern is that there are more recipients now than contributors, and those recipients are not going to be conducive to changing the system to a way that doesn't reward them anymore. So how do you do that?
You're absolutely right about the imbalance, because what will happen is it will be better to vote for tax increases if more people believe that it's a benefit to them as opposed to a detriment. And you'll be continually reducing the ability of America to produce, to employ, and to continue as an economic giant of the world. So what you have to do, I would argue, is recognize the progressive income tax as a relic of the 19th and 20th century. And you have to try to go towards a flat tax that would, or a fair tax, whichever one. But you have to get the fundamental debate about the progressive nature of the income tax that we currently have is not progressing anywhere except towards a dangerous imbalance. Now, that's an argument that I continue to advise both the flat tax and the fair tax or any other type of new tax people, that you have to win that debate before it's too late, or you're never going to get to the other one about which particular one you would put in place.
Let's move to the international stage now, and you point out in the book that you don't believe we're in a war on terror, we're in a war for freedom. Explain the difference and why that's important.
Yeah, we did not seek out the enemy and start to destroy them. What we really did was we defended ourselves. We were attacked because we're a free people. Our allies are attacked because they're a free people. We're not simply trying to exterminate something. What we're trying to do is defend, first and foremost, the freedom that we inherited, the freedom that is our birthright, and expand it to other people to help defeat this enemy. And I think that we have to look at it in that manner. It's a defensive act that involves also acts of creation, the creation of individual liberty around the world to further ensure our own and theirs, as opposed to simply trying to find the enemy and destroy them, and then leave the world as it is.
one of the issues that you have focused on greatly in the book, as well as in the legislation I referenced a little while ago, is our relationship with China, the trade imbalance that we have, and certainly the human rights concerns that we have with them, as well as some of our other trading partners. That's always been a tension. I remember most favored nation debates going back a number of decades now, where the economic promise of such a relationship was having to be balanced by the human rights concerns that we have. Where do you see that balance, if we have to have a balance, being struck?
Well, I think the American people are becoming increasingly aware that the United States system, which is based on liberty that leads to prosperity and security, is antithetical to the communist Chinese model, which is the state will not give you liberty but will try to provide you prosperity and security. And they're starting to understand how the regime over there views the United States as not merely a rival but as, in their own words, a hegemon that is eventually going to lead to a conflict. Now, I don't agree with the regime on that, but I think that what the United States has to do is immediately there are things that can be done that have bipartisan support, like me and my Democratic colleague, Representative Michael Michaud from Maine, have asked the administration to start looking at the trade practices comprehensively in front of the World Trade Organization, where the communist Chinese are breaking the rules and acting in a mercantilist fashion, as opposed to just treating them one at a time or individually. We believe that it gives a better view to the world of what the Chinese communists are actually up to in their practices, and also allows us to better deal with them. I think one of the things that we should do is reattach human rights to the trade relations that we have with the communist Chinese, which was done away with, sadly, in a bipartisan coalition of a Republican Congress and President Bill Clinton. So these are things right away. I think we also have to beef up our cybersecurity, because, as you know, they continually attack not only our military installations, but our commercial and our industrial. And I think that we also have to make sure that our Navy is adequately equipped and that we have to engage with our allies in Asia, who are also very concerned about the aggressive nature of the regime.
A couple minutes left with Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter. The book is Seize Freedom. And the third aspect here, of course, is the social situation in this country, our cultural situation. And you're very concerned in the book about what you call moral relativism and kind of a cultural slide, for lack of a better phrase here. How do you characterize that, and what's the best thing to do to address that? Can Washington do anything about that, or is that something that's clearly got to start in the home?
Well, I think that when you talk about moral relativism, you have to understand that's subjective interpretation. Values are for commodities in a marketplace. They're not for truths and principles. And what we have inherited is a country that was built upon, quote, self-evident truths. Not my phrase. You can go yell at the founders. And so when you have two camps in the United States, one that believe in self-evident truths and that right and wrong exists, and you can reasonably find a way through experience and through common sense to determine what they are, as opposed to another camp that believes, and if enough people believe it, then it's true or it's what should be done, that you're never going to be engaged each other. Now, obviously, I think that the first thing that has to happen is for Washington to not make this situation worse. And we see this especially in areas such as child parental rights, where the government and especially places like the UN are continually trying to infringe upon the parent-child relationship.
We're talking with Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter. Just about a minute left here. And Congressman, throughout the book, your unique humor and sarcasm and wit are on display. And if anyone watches a Red Eye or even catches you on interviews like this from time to time, they know that your personality and your take on this is a little bit different in kind of a fun way. How important is that to addressing this in terms of folks perhaps taking themselves too seriously as they take on some of these big challenges?
It's like somebody once said, if you think everything's serious, you're an unserious person. You have to have the perspective to know what's also unimportant. And so I think that, you know, even when you're writing a book, you have to remember it's not about you, the author. It's about the ideas. So that's what you want people to focus on. And if they like them, they like them. If they don't, maybe they got a better one.
Congressman, as always, a great pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thanks, Greg.
Appreciate it. Michigan Republican Congressman Thaddeus McCotter. The book is Seize Freedom, American Truths and Renewal in a Chaotic Age. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.